A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to episode number 586 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell, and with me today are Amanda and Valerie Bowman. Now, last week in the ads and features episode for the May 2014 issue of Romantic Times for our Romantic Times Rewind series, the cover feature was all about Valerie Bowman, her latest book, and there was a mention in the article about her appearance on Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta in 2014. Now, you might remember this clip.
Romance novelist Valerie lives through her characters.
Lily, I think I wrote her a little bit with myself in mind.
And thought by dressing like one, she had penned a quick ending to her bridal story.
Oh, it's just so romantic. It's perfect. Oh, not at all.
Valerie is the baby of the family. So naturally, she's going to listen to her big sister.
Sister's dress is a dropped waist gown with a sparkling beaded bodice and a full ruffled skirt.
No!
No way.
I think this would get edited out of my book.
Good.
It's bling. It's fru. No. I love it.
This dress is definitely taking out of her comfort zone.
I really love the first one.
So maybe go back in your first love?
That's not going to be the case.
Nobody can mess with your head like a sister.
You can live in a fictional world the rest of the time.
And unless Valerie comes up with a character that stands up for herself, she's headed for an unhappy ending.
So I reached out to Valerie because, would you believe we had a few questions about this whole episode and the clip itself? Oh, so many questions. And Valerie was so cool. She came on to talk to us all about the details. We're going to talk about weddings. We're going to talk about dresses. We're going to talk about reality TV. We're going to take a side discussion into The Real Housewives, Scandoval, and $17,000 sunglasses. This is a very goofy, silly, fun episode. And I am so glad that Amanda suggested I reach out to Valerie. Plus, do not miss the show notes, because Valerie sent us a picture of her wedding, and it's just wonderful. I knew doing the Romantic Times Rewind would be fun. I didn't realize it would be this much fun. So thank you for going on this very strange journey with us. I also want to say a special hello and thank you to our Patreon community, who is playing a major part in making this a whole series possible. I have a compliment. I love this so much. To Sue R., you are the human embodiment of the feeling of walking into a gelato parlor, seeing perfectly rippled brand new trays of all your favorite flavors, and knowing that you can get some of each. You are the joy of gelato in human form, is what I'm saying. Thank you for being part of the Patreon. And a special hello to Amanda S. for joining our community so recently. If you like the show and you value what we're doing, and if you really enjoy the Romantic Times Rewind episodes, which are so much fun, have a look at our Patreon. It is super easy to join. Monthly pledges start at $1, and every pledge is deeply appreciated, and make sure that every episode has a transcript hand-compiled by Garlic Knitter. Hey, Garlic Knitter. Thank you so much to the Patreon community for their support. And thank you for thinking about it. If you're not part of the Patreon, have a look at patreon.com/smartbitches. Support for this episode comes from Lumi deodorant. It is finally cooling off. The weather is no longer like soup, but I still love summery scents, which is why I love the toasted coconut deodorant from Lumi. And Lumi makes it easy to feel comfortable and smell so lovely we have a special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SARAH30 at lumipodcast.com. That's LUMEPODCAST.com. As I've mentioned, my whole family really likes Lumi. I use the solid stick deodorant, as I mentioned, in toasted coconut, but we, specifically my teenager who ran off with my Lumi starter pack items, also really like the lavender sage scent. Lumi also offers a soft powder scent, minted cucumber, or completely unscented, which is always appreciated. How does it work? Well, some products try to mask odor with fragrance, but Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's more like a pre-odorant. And Lumi can control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code SARAH30 at lumipodcast.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit lumipodcast.com and use code SARAH30. All right, it's time to talk about Yes and Dress and reality TV. On with the conversation with me, Amanda, and Valerie Bowman.
I am Valerie Bowman. I am a historical romance novelist. I think I have maybe 30 plus books out there at this point. I've been writing since 2011. And I used to be published by New York by St. Martin's Press, but now I'm fully indie and loving it. That is my
welcome to the show. I feel like this is going to be a gathering of what I like to think of as ye oldie romance old folks home, where we just sit on the porch and rock back and forth and talk about how it used to be back in the day.
Yes, I love it.
We recently did the May 2014 RT Rewind, and we looked in the magazine. You were the cover story. Yes. I'm assuming you remember this issue because it's so cool to be the cover story, right?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I absolutely. Why did y'all pick the May 2014 to start with? I'm just curious. Is it just one you had?
Yeah, it's wild.
Love it. You know, my history with RT is that when I was a little girl, my mom, every Friday night, we'd go to Walden Books in the bookstore at the mall. And she would get all these romance novels in the RT. I still remember it. It was paper. It was black and white. It was sitting, I think it might have been free. I don't know, as a child, so I wasn't paying for it anyway. But she would get a copy, and they were all over her bedroom. Like, she just, my mom's bedroom was just romance novels. So I remember it when it was like black and white and just, bad font and just,
I've only seen pictures of those. I've never seen the original RT, the Romantic Times newsletter, when it was like actually paper and you folded it up, put it in an envelope and sent it to me. I've never seen one myself.
They were lovely.
So was it like a massively big moment for you to be the cover story on this magazine then?
It was actually, yes. You know, I've been watching Beckham on Netflix, like a ton of people have been watching. And he was talking about how his dad like kind of made him into being a soccer player because he wanted it so bad. And I'm like, I think that was my mom and me being a romance novelist. He was just the biggest fan ever. I mean, she never really told me to do it, but I feel like I maybe, you know, to get down some deep psychology.
So you're the David Beckham of romance, is what I'm hearing.
I don't want to say that now. That's probably a step too far. But I love that idea that your parent could like just influence you. And I think with romance novels, and my mom for sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can now put that on the cover of your books. Like, Amanda and I are totally cool with you saying the David Beckham of romance - smart bitches. Like, you can put that on the cover. It's fine with us.
You can have self. Do you think anyone wants that? I don't know. That's funny, though. I love it.
So you were on the cover for your book, and you mentioned in the profile, which, by the way, was a really good profile. Like, one thing I've noticed rereading old issues is when they do a profile of somebody, they had some really interesting questions, and like the profiles were actually solidly interesting. You appeared on Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta. Now, this is like a little paragraph in the article, and I don't know if you saw the episode, but we listened to the audio. I watched that whole episode. And I don't like reality TV. It makes my skin hurt because it's just so awkward. But like, okay, how did this appearance happen? How did you end up on Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta?
Okay, so actually with some romance novelist friends who suggested it. So I was out, I got married in 2013. It was literally our wedding anniversary last night.
Yesterday. Oh, hey, congratulations.
So, congrats.
That's 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yay! We were like,
I was looking for a dress and I just was posting things out on I think Facebook. And just like, what do you think of these dresses? Because that's kind of fun. And what my friend Anna Bennett, who writes for St. Martin's, she said, you know what? You should apply to be on Say Yes to the Dress because you're a romance novelist and that's a good hook. And I was like, really? I never thought about it. But I just literally that morning Googled it. There's an application, or at least at the time there was. Filled it out and they called me within a week and said, can you be up here? I think it was a week later and bring some people. And that's how it happened. It was really that fast. The whole thing was like from start to finish was like 3 weeks. It was crazy.
You know, the producers that received your application were like, yes, thank you, God. So as a romance author, and we watched a portion of this episode. Now, Amanda was much more familiar with Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta than I was. This was something you had watched. I'd never seen this before.
It's definitely like a weekend. Sometimes, like, I think TLC will have a marathon on, and you just lay up on the couch on a Sunday afternoon and watch like eight of them back to back. It's usually
it's like popcorn watching. Yeah.
It is popcorn watching or Pringles watching, I've heard it called.
Yeah.
And it is kind of nice to watch people try on beautiful dresses. Like, beautiful dresses are fun.
Yeah, it's
fun. And give like your own opinion to yourself, like I wouldn't wear that, or like I don't like that fit around the bust. As if like there's anyone here listening to me or like cares about my opinion. I'll say
No, it's fun. It's a fun show to watch.
I remember when my sister-in-law got married in 2019, and she wanted to do like a family, like we were all visiting for Passover or something. And she's like, well, I want to go dress shopping with everyone. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't have any idea why she wanted me to come dress shopping. And the dress store that we went to in Virginia, it was set up with like yes or no placards and lots of like decorations. And we were supposed to be involved. Like, it was like an in-person Say Yes to the Dress thing. And I had no idea that that had infiltrated bridal boutiques, but it was like a live version of we all sit on this couch and she comes out in a dress. And the thing I remember most clearly, and this happened to you too, is they use these giant friggin' clips to hold the dress to your body.
Yeah.
You look like from the back, you look like a construction project. Like, there's these giant clamps holding the dress on. And I'm like, is that comfortable? Oh my gosh. So we watched a portion of the show on the podcast. I've linked to the episodes. I found it online. And we were a little shocked about some of the editing decisions made for this sequence, especially with your sister. What was the family? What was your family's reaction? And were you guys coached to create conflict? Like, my stomach hurt a little bit with some of the conflict.
There were a lot of puns.
Oh, like
so many puns.
Please tell me you were like, oh wow, yikes!
I didn't even hear the puns until I watched that. But some of them. I didn't know the extent of the punnage until I watched it myself. But they did not coach us to have conflict, but what they did is they edited it to have conflict.
Oh.
And as a storyteller, I can't blame them. So I get why they did it. But yeah, my sister was not happy because they made it seem like she thought really ugly dresses were pretty. And she'd never, basically they'd ask her about a pretty dress and say, how'd you like it? And she'd say, oh, I liked it. And then they put that clip with the ugliest dress ever.
Oh my gosh. So they made it look like your sister had bad taste in wedding dresses.
Yeah, it was not cool.
She must have been very upset when it aired.
Yeah, she was not happy. She's actually never seen it, but she's had enough people tell her about it that it was bad that she, so I respect her decision to not watch it. I really wish I would have. My mother-in-law was on it with me and, she's since passed away, but she would have been so good to fight with because she would have been into it and just not cared. But my sister cared and it was a bad scene. So I wish we would have kind of changed the dynamic, but when you go, you don't really know who they're going to have you fight with other than if you've seen it, before, you know, it's always family members that they have you fight with. But my mother-in-law was family, so.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was so good.
They really played into the, well, you know, you always, your sister knows how to push your buttons. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course.
Yeah,
like,
they do. They have to make a story, otherwise it's boring. But
right?
Yeah, it's definitely was contrived.
Little contrived? So your sister is not actually a reality show villain, is what you're saying here.
She is not, and she has very, very good taste. So, you know what? I think that's what made her the most mad, is that she didn't want America. Which I get. I totally get.
I mean, I can believe it, and I cannot believe it that they would edit together her positive comments. And the one that she was praising was the one where it was just like a tight bodice and then just ruffles for days.
It was just, yeah. No, it was awful. Yeah. And in fact, the worst part was my friend who had come, one of my friends, she hadn't really seen the show, so she didn't really know what to do, but she thought part of it was to pick the worst dresses. So that was actually one of her crazy dresses she picked just to be funny. And then they turned that into my sister. Like, it was bad.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we need to have your sister on the show just so she could like defend herself. What a bad edit she got. Oh my gosh.
It was bad. It was, you know, and I've heard since then, I've never been on one of these like remodel shows, but I, you know, I'm sure you've read, they say that like behind the scenes, they only really fix up like one wall and the rest of the house looks like crap after they leave. I mean, reality shows are just, they are what they are. But
so I would watch a show where it's like, kind of a mix between Say Yes to the Dress and then like Supermarket Sweep, where you've got like 5 minutes to find the ugliest dress in this giant dress warehouse, and like the winner takes home the prize.
I would be so good at that though, because so when I got married, I had my sister as my maid of honor, my sisters-in-law as bridesmaids, and two of my friends from college as bridesmaids. And I can barely dress myself, so I cannot dress other people. And I told them, just get a dress and make it blue, buy something you like, all blues go together, it's going to be fine, we'll tie you together with the flowers, and I'm really not that worried about it. Because again, I can barely dress myself. And if you told me to go into a bridal shop and find the ugliest dress, I would be able to do that in like 3 seconds, because I have no concept of what looks good on the hanger versus what looks good on me. I would pick the worst dresses for myself. Just as a default, I would win this show so easily.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I have no taste in clothing, nor do I care that much about clothing. So I'm always just wearing like whatever.
So did you come up with the ideas of having like you, like in the show, you're sort of channeling your characters. Like, this is what one of my characters would wear. And everyone was like, no, you have to come back down to reality. And I was like, well, first of all, that's kind of harsh. Because clearly this was something they were building, right?
Yeah, they do. I guess that was their kind of little thing they wanted. Because if I remember correctly, I haven't seen that show in a minute, but there was like a Barbie woman on the other half of the show where she wanted to be Barbie. So they kind of had their premise in place of, they wanted me to kind of seem like I wished I was a character for my book, which no, I don't. But I get it.
You like having penicillin? You like having modern medicine, penicillin, and hot water whenever you want? Oh my goodness.
Exactly. So I was kind of scared. I heard them always saying that, and I was kind of scared they were going to make me seem like just a wackadoo who, you know, wished I was a Regency character in my own books. That's not how I feel. But yeah, I mean, that was their kind of little premise that they
was their hook. I am telling you, you filled out that application and a producer was just like, thank you. It is like Christmas to yes. you were perfect for that show, but my goodness, the edit. Whew. So do you remember the dresses that you tried on, other than the big, like the big, roughly big one? There were two that were really beautiful. And Amanda was telling me when we were rewatching it that generally there's one you like, and then there's one the guests like, and then there's a third one that everyone likes. And that's generally the setup. Do you remember that, or is it all filmed out of order and you don't know which dress is going to be the one at the end?
It's filmed out of order with the ugly dresses and the conflict dresses. Like, I didn't know what they were going to do with all of that. But the one that I eventually loved and everyone loved and that I actually purchased, that one I did really love, and that was real. I picked it, I loved it, and I was planning to wear it. But then we actually what happened, I did give it away to a reader, because what happened was when I bought that dress, we really hadn't planned our wedding yet. I knew I needed a dress, but our wedding ended up being extremely tiny and informal, so that dress would have looked insane at our little tiny wedding.
You didn't even wear it?
I didn't wear it, but I gave it away to a young woman who really appreciated it and who did wear it. I would have worn it, but my wedding just turned, we just took a different direction with the wedding. It wasn't like I didn't plan to wear it, but then it just would have been silly at the wedding that we ended up having.
You had like to buy it? You had to buy the dress, even though you're on the show? You okay, I am, Amanda, are you shocked? I am shocked.
Yeah, I thought like because you come on the show and bring your family, they comp you the dress.
Right, like you go on The Bachelor, you get that engagement ring for free.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you get a bachelor engagement ring?
I thought, I always thought that
when like, can I write in on that show? Can
I? See, I always thought on The Bachelor when they're like, and the rings provided by Neil Lane or whatever. I don't think these people are a bunch of Instagram influencers. They don't have Neil Lane diamond money. I figured the diamond was part of the, you know, that and all the free travel from ABC and the booze.
I would like to know if they get to keep it, especially if it falls apart, because they so often do. I want to know that now. But no, I mean, and also, The Bachelor has a way bigger budget than just a dress.
I mean, that is true. Fair, so. You had to buy the dress? I am shocked.
I did get a discount. And I think it was a generous, I want to say it was 50%, but that might have been because that dress came from like the 50% off room. Now that I think about it. But it was beautiful. I think it was
gorgeous.
Like according to them, it was like last year's or old. And what do I care about that? I just thought it was beautiful. So that's why it was already on sale. And then they did give me a discount for being on the show, but no, nothing was paid for. Like they gave us a hotel room discount, not even a free hotel room to stay in Atlanta. No, nothing, like no meals or anything. It was just, if you want to stay in Atlanta, here's a discount. And yeah,
that's wild.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Honestly, I think there's so many people who just want to be on television for fame's sake, I guess. Not that you're famous after on that show. I've had a few people recognize me, but just a handful. But I mean, I did it obviously because I have romance novels that I would like people to know about. But if I was just a person getting married, you wouldn't catch me dead on that show because I don't want to just be famous for the sake of fame. I don't know. Some people do though.
Some people do. I mean, it makes perfect sense for a novelist because that is absolutely your audience. The same people like Amanda, like Amanda said, the same people who are chilling on the couch, like alone in their room voting on your wedding dress. Those are absolutely likely to be romance readers. It makes sense from a free marketing perspective, but I am shocked that like they didn't even cover the cost of the dress. That's just wow.
No, there are so many people out there who just want to be on TV.
It's true. That's why there's so many reality shows.
Yep.
So you didn't end up wearing the dress and you ended up giving it away as I saw that part in the article, you were like, sign up for my newsletter, email me, I'm giving the dress away. First of all, that's so generous. Yeah. That is a really beautiful, generous giveaway. Do you know who won it? Did they send you a picture? Did you get to see the dress in their wedding?
Yeah, I have her email address. I can't remember the girl's name, but she was a young bride. She was in Indiana. Her mother thanked me profusely for it. I didn't get to see the wedding or any of it, but I think I went to a good home, and I was glad somebody got to wear it.
That's so lovely.
Yeah. I have not been married, so I don't have a wedding dress story, but my mom was remarried in the early 90s, and her wedding dress came with a big hat.
Yep.
And had little pearl buttons all the way down the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was like in some community play in high school and I was like playing a runaway bride, and I'm like, oh, I can just borrow my mom's wedding dress because she still had it and I fit into it and everything. But having to do like a quick change and someone behind the scenes trying to get all the little pearl buttons in a row, that was like intense. I was sweating. Like, please, please just make sure nothing's going to fall out. You don't have to do every button.
Nothing's going to fall out.
But I did. That's the only time I've worn a wedding dress, and it was my mom's. And I think she still has it. But weirdly, I feel like that style of dress was very popular in the early 90s.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because my former roommate, her mom, who looks similar to my mom, had like the exact same wedding dress with the big hat tucked to the side.
A tilted hat. Like, big.
Yep, tilted hat. Long sleeve dress with pearl buttons down the back.
Wow. Yeah, that was a whole look.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about wedding dresses is that they are so impractical. You can't even go to the bathroom unassisted. I have been known, you know how you go through a phase where like, you've got like five weddings in 1 year because everyone you know is getting married. I would go up to brides I didn't know and I'd be like, listen, do you have someone designated to help you pee? Because if you do not, you come and find me. You don't even need to know my name. I've done this before. I can't pee in my own wedding dress. So I know you can't. You know, I'm looking at this dress and it's like miles long. I'm like, listen, you just come find me. I will help you use the bathroom. We will never speak of this again.
I'll never talk again.
I'm like, you don't even have to remember my name. I don't even need a thank you note. Just, it's so impractical. The thing about the dress you ultimately chose, and I'm kind of bummed you didn't get to wear it. Like, that's, you went through all of that. Your poor sister got this terrible reality TV edit and you didn't get to wear it. The dress you picked was so simple and elegant. It's so pretty.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
We actually, my husband and I actually were like, well, we should have a bigger wedding just so we can wear the dress. I mean, we had that talk and then we're like, okay, that's a little crazy. Let's have the wedding we want.
So what did you wear to your wedding?
I actually wore a very simple, I bought it off the internet. I didn't even try it on until I got it. Just a really simple lace dress with, that was like a like knee length, I even think, and kind of three-quarter sleeves. It was very simple compared to the other one.
Would you feel comfortable sending me a picture so I can put it in the show notes?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that would be lovely. I'll include that in the show notes so people can see the dress, the actual dress. And how is your sister? Is she okay?
She's okay. Yeah, she's okay. We honestly, all joking aside, we don't talk about that. We can't. She's still to this day not happy about it. And I apologize profusely. And I hope
it was absolutely not your choice though. That was all the producers. Having learned a lot about reality TV, the producers make some weird decisions behind the scenes.
They sure do. Yeah. I just wish it had been my mother-in-law. She would have enjoyed it. My sister was like,
"Aw, I'm so sorry for that. That part stinks."
Yeah, but you know, when we went on reality TV, we should have been expecting that. I always think that. It's like, what do we expect? You know?
Yeah, reality TV is one of those things where like, once you're on it, I feel like the finished product is out of your hands, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I actually do like watching reality TV. Like, I was all up in this scandal ball all summer.
Oh my God. We got to talk about that.
Oh my gosh. I was so deep into that. But I know from having just been on one episode, you know, it's all edited, but oh my gosh, scandal ball. I could not get into that.
I mean, Ariana deserved better. For sure.
Absolutely.
And that little mustache.
First of all, the mustache, we should have known he was headed downhill when he even started with the mustache. The mustache was proof that he could not be trusted.
It's so specifically curved. Like, it's so well groomed. Like, you know how you see a romance cover model and they've got like 19 abs and the biggest pecs you ever saw. And the first thing I think is, okay, well, that is at least 6 hours in the gym every day, nonstop. So clearly you do not have time to be running a company and harassing your secretary and doing whatever else it is you do in this novel, shifting into a wolf and becoming an alien. Like, you don't have time for that. You got to work on those abs. That's a lot of upkeep right there. So you look at that mustache. You know that it's like 2 hours in the bathroom every morning, just perfectly, like that's his, that's a lot of investment into a mustache. That's a questionable decision right there.
And he's kind of like that. I mean, I've been watching that show, Vanderpump Rules, since day one. I mean, I've just been on board with it. So he's like that, but Ariana's so much better than he is. Just, that's all I have.
I'm a Real Housewives girl. Yes,
which Real Housewives, like, though? There's many flavors.
Oh, okay. I've seen probably almost every Real Housewives like spinoff. I will go on the record and say some of the best television I've ever watched was season 2 of The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I have heard that the Jersey Wives is the superior vintage. Early Jersey Wives is the superior vintage of Real Housewives.
Yes.
It's nuts. I've purchased that one season on Amazon Prime. That is the only season I physically own. Season 2 of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. it was intense for sure. That's probably the one I stuck with the longest. And then like RIP to Real Housewives of Miami. I watched that one a lot.
Almost all of them. I used to be a fan in New York, but I cannot listen to Ramona even talk. So I had to
Ramona stop, but... Singer is in a class of her own, isn't she?
I can't even listen to her voice at this point in my life. Just I can't. But I love the Beverly Hills and the OG OC. Those are my two that I watch.
I think the only one I haven't really watched was Salt Lake City franchise.
I was watching that. Yep.
Oh, speaking of drama, my gosh. I did watch the first, I want to say, 4 or 5 episodes of The Real Housewives of Dubai. Dubai is almost like this weird sort of cousin to a show that was called Ladies of London, which was basically Real Housewives of London.
Yes, there was that woman on Ladies of London. It's not Catherine.
Caroline Stanberry.
Caroline, such a witch in Ladies of London.
Yeah. She's good TV.
She pieced out of London and moved to Dubai.
And became the main housewife. She's the foundation housewife of Real Housewives of Dubai. The thing that's wild is because Dubai has very strict liquor laws, like you're not allowed to drink, you have to get on a boat and go out to sea to drink. So Caroline's bachelorette party is on a boat and they just go out to sea and get shit-faced and then come back.
All the Real Housewives I'm on board with. Like, I'm here for all of it. I have a friend who won't watch it because she's like, I would be jealous of all their stuff. But I'm like, fascinated by all their stuff. Like,
it's fascinating.
I remember one of the women was like, these sunglasses were $17,000. And I was, what? Like,
and it became like a running joke of like, because she would always tell you how much like her sunglasses or her purse cost, like without it being prompted.
No,
just
she was
like
just
an icebreaker.
$17,000, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" I'm judging that. So I'm really trying to be less judgy in my life. But I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I have like $10 Target sunglasses that I've had for 25 years and they're like half broken.
Imagine having like sunglasses as a budget line item, you know, just like my sunglasses budget for this year.
I'd be so stressed out having $14,000 or $17,000 sunglasses.
It's like, yeah, don't touch
them. Where
are
the sunglasses? What are they doing?
That's a used car.
I know. It's so fascinating to me.
Like, at that point, I expect them to come with perks. Like, if I buy these, it's like when you buy a Peloton and then you buy the subscription service, you get all of this programming, right? So for my 17,000 sunglasses, I want to know that it comes with an automatic all-expenses-paid vacation where I wear the sunglasses. For $17,000, they should transform into a plane and fly me to the beach. That's what should happen.
I agree with that. And that's just one example. They have all sorts of stuff they are spending money on that I'm just like, what in the world? Like the purses alone. I could just talk all day about all the purses.
Oh, purses are wild, right?
Oh my gosh. So, some of them, I mean, I've looked them up. They're like $80,000 purses.
Yeah, like a Birkin bag, for example. Like I have like a, was it like a Longchamp?
I love Longchamp. I love them so much.
Yeah, which is a nice nylon tote, but they're like $100. And this one has lasted me like a decade.
Oh, they last forever and they have inside pockets. There's nothing better than Longchamp.
But like a Birkin bag, if I treated my Birkin bag the way that I treat my current bag, with just like half-eaten granola bars and like wadded up receipts.
Yeah, there was one episode of the house. I want to say it was Beverly Hills, where the woman's purse was so expensive, she had a little raincoat for it. She had like a little purse raincoat, and she came to dinner with one of the other housewives, and the other housewife wasn't like, "What the hell is that?" She was like, "Oh, I see you have the raincoat." It's like so normal for them.
Isn't it a superstition to put your purse on the floor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
I actually, one of the big pieces of swag that I got at an RT was a hook for your purse where you open it up and then hang it off the edge of the table and there's a hook underneath to hold your purse. Totally worked. You can hang your bag anywhere.
That's actually good swag, I will say.
Oh, that's the thing I miss most about Romantic Times. Yeah. The convention was the swag. Yes. The swag was serious business.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. Okay.
Have you thought about wedding dresses as swag?
I feel like it might be not cost efficient, but
I mean, there's ways.
For little ones.
Yeah, little tiny wedding dresses. Say yes to the dress.
Lego people. That'd be cute.
Your sister would come in your house and be like, I have to leave now.
Oh, God.
There's too many wedding dresses in this house and I have to go. I'm so sorry for her. Would you please tell her that we are so sorry she got a bad edit? Because she got a bad edit.
I will tell her.
I remember when we watched it, Amanda, I remember both of us going, did they edit her that way? Because that's just like, what?
Yeah, I feel like most people wouldn't bring someone to this experience if they had any sort of like rocky relationship. They would bring people that like they love and know and trust.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be jerks about the experience.
Yeah. Well, I can say when I did the sort of say yes to the dress with my sister-in-law, there was a dress she really liked. And I was like, this is very impractical. You can't move around because it was very form fitting. And I'm like, do you want to dance? Like, do you want to move around? Do you want to be able to walk?
You want to go to the bathroom?
I will say though, at the reception to sort of break the ice, we with the bride's permission, my husband was a groomsman. And before we were introduced, we switched clothes. So he wore my bridesmaid's dress and I wore his tux. Oh, my mother-in-law still does not speak of this. She does not like that this happened. She does not speak of it. But first of all, my dress looked really good on him. I was mad I had to give back the tux because I had so many pockets. Do you have any idea how many pockets men have? Do you have any idea? I had pockets inside, outside, on the sides, in the back. I had the jacket had like 10 and it was our rental. It was our rented tux and it had more pockets than I've ever had in my
life. Did you check the pockets before you gave it back?
Yes, we did, because the rental also cost more than the dress, which I own.
See, but that'd be such, okay, if we had What's in Your Purse as a show, What's in Your Pockets as a man would be so boring.
Oh, God.
It would just
wallet
be like, keys.
Wallet. Yeah. And we'd be like,
what's your candy. Random business card from a gas station that closed in 1982. Yeah.
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 But I feel like my brother now, even though he's like military, so it might just be wallet still at this point. He has that like crossbody, like chest bag.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's literally a fanny pack that it just goes over the chest now.
When did those come back in style? I keep seeing people with fanny packs across their body like a bandolier. Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Look, I bought a fanny pack when I went to Disney. Loved it. But I'm a double G. No fanny pack in the world
is crossing like, the gauntlet there. No,
no, and it's just going to do that thing where like purse straps that go right between the boobs and just make them look even bigger. So it's like, you know what? Around the hips, it's fine. And it was great and comfortable and I loved it.
Yeah, they're back. The fanny pack's back.
It's been 10 years since you were on the show and you have written more than 30 romance novels. What are you working on now? What is your newest release?
My newest release actually comes out in a week or two, the 24th. It's called The Wallflower Wind. It is the last book in my latest series, which is, I call it the Whitmore Lens. I actually did the whole series as a nod to Judith McNaught, who is my favorite of all time.
Oh, I love that. She's wonderful. Her books were so my gateway.
Yes, yes. Love her, love her, love her. And she, so all the books, it's four books, and all the books are kind of, anyone who's read all of her Regencies will see little kind of Easter eggs for all of her stuff in there, like names and presents and just little things I took from all of her books because I love her so much.
I adore Judith McNaught, but there's one book of hers that I cannot read because the hero has the same first and last name as the person I dated throughout high school. Ian Thornton is the character name. That's you. That was my high school boyfriend. Lovely guy. Not a horrific memory at all, but that's just too much for me. Too much of a similarity, first and last name.
I mean,
so like, yeah, that's a lot to take in. I get it.
And also, my name is Sarah. There are a lot of people named Sarah, and I admit I will struggle with a romance heroine named Sarah. At one point, I got a digital galley of a book, and it was a PDF, and it was a pretty high demand author. And so they had put a watermark across the text, Sarah's copy. And I was like, well, I can't read this. There's copy. I exported the PDF and I removed the name Sarah. But it turns out there was a major character named Sarah. So after I was done, the book made no sense. Like, I was like, who the hell's talking? Oh, shit.
You removed all Sarahs.
I removed all Sarahs except me. It was a very powerful moment in my life.
I love that. I've never found a Valerie as the heroine. The Valeries always tend to be like the bitchy bad villain for some reason. I'm like, what the what?
The mistress character.
Judith McNaught has an evil Valerie.
She does. She does have an evil Valerie. Yes, she does. Well, listen, I don't want to tell you your business, but you are a romance author and there's no one stopping you from naming a character after yourself, especially after all of that nonsense about how, on Say Yes to the Dress, you wanted to be your characters and, she needs to come back to Earth. Oh, yeah. Like they really made you sound at times as if you were very much living in a fantasy world. So why not make a heroine Valerie? I go for it.
I didn't name her Valerie, but I've written one contemporary novel, and the heroine is not named Valerie, but she's very heavily based on me, and everyone hated her. So I was like, obviously, I'm a horrible person. But just she's OCD and kind of picky, and everything's in her planner. She loves to do lists. Like, I really based her on me, and everyone's like, your heroine in that book is awful, but otherwise, it was a good book. So I'm not doing that again.
Oh, no.
Is that hiring Mr. Darcy?
Yes. Even my agent was like, no, not her. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna keep it to myself, but that was kind of me. But I actually am about to write the sequel to Hiring Mr. Darcy, so I'm gonna make a way nicer heroine.
And you can just make the heroine of the first book. If she's in the second book, you can do whatever you want.
That's right.
Change her name to Valerie, become a reality TV star. It'll be great. So what books are you reading that you want to tell people about?
Oh, okay. I've been on the biggest kick all summer and into the fall here on like hockey romance, and somehow, okay, if you would have told me I would have liked football YA, I would have told you that you're crazy, but I've been reading all football because I don't like football. I couldn't care less. It's shocking to me that I've gotten into these books, but I've been reading Jennifer Bond. I read some T.L. Swan. I just read the whole series one after another of like hockey and football, and I've been loving it. So yeah, Jennifer Bond's got a whole series. The one that's sticking out in my mind is called Catching Quinn, but they're all kind of that same name, and oh, I love them. They're really good, really well done.
One thing I love about books like that is that I call them armpit cover books because the cover models are always like this.
Yes.
Like, you can't have a football hero on the cover unless he's like flexing his armpits at you. Like, it's very important. Yes. The pit pose is a big genre signal there.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Absolutely. Pit pose.
Exactly. The pit book.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Where can people find you? If you're giving away a wedding dress or not, where can people find you?
I'm not currently giving away a wedding dress, but everyone can find me at ValerieBowmanBooks.com, www.ValerieBowmanBooks.com. And I'm, of course, on Facebook. I'm kind of off X or Twitter or whatever it used to be called. I am on Threads now and Instagram, and it's all at Valerie G. Bowman are my handles there. So, yeah, this was fun. I love doing the cover of RT, and it's so fun to talk about the olden days of those.
Thank you.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I know. It's almost 10 years. One of the things Amanda remarked on when we did the first one was how this really was like a celebrity magazine just for us.
Yes. Loved it.
Like, all the names on the cover, instead of being celebrities, they're just like us. It was like Valerie Bowman and Sherilyn Kenyon. Like, wow, this magazine was celebrities just for us. So you got to be a cover model.
I missed it so much. Yeah, there was, I was so glad they didn't want me on, like, they just put my book, and they did ask if you could tell them what you'd prefer, but I was
that's interesting.
I do not want my mug on the cover. I know a lot of people have done that, but I'm just not the type who want. I was like, no.
We actually talked about that because I noticed some of them have the author photo and then some of them have the book cover. And I'm guessing as a marketing tool, having the book cover image reinforced is much more effective than having your picture, because people are going to see your book somewhere else, be like, oh, that was on the cover.
Yeah, I think if you're Nora Roberts, you can hop right on the cover of anything and people will be like, oh, Nora. But I was like, it's a win-win for me, because I'd rather you see my book cover and I don't want to be on the cover. Actual face. But,
well, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for the side trip down Real Housewives memory lane. That was very fun.
love a Real Housewives talk.
Call me when you start your what's in your purse, because I got some stuff.
Oh yeah. I also want your sister to come on so we can give her the nicest edit ever. Make her seem like the most supportive, loving, glorious. She'll be the best side character, sequel bait character on the show, hands down.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, she's a big romance novel fan.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much to Valerie Bowman for answering my email and for coming on the show to talk about her appearance on a reality television program almost 10 years ago. I have a picture of her wedding and the dress that she wore in the show notes and at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast under episode number 586. Do not miss it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. And I will have links to all of the books that we talked about and all of the places you can find Valerie. And of course, a link to watch the full episode if you are interested in seeing a nearly 10-year-old-ish episode of Say Yes to the Dress, Atlanta. Wow. Podcasting is really wild sometimes. I always end with a bad joke, and this week I would never leave you hanging. It's almost Halloween, so this is the perfect joke. How does Dracula order his coffee? Give up? How does Dracula order his coffee? Decaffeinated. A secondary joke. How do you know if a vampire is sick? Well, their coffin. I hope you have a wonderful Halloween and get all the best candy. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading and the very best of candy. We will see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.